Shmuel Aleph in Rashi's. Remeir Rabbanon. The Rashi where says big Gemara middle of the page. Remeir Rabbanon. They flee of Chokim Lahashlim Perkam of the Yuma Be'ervin. Whether we cut it out to make it complete. So the Remeir the Amar Chokim Lahashlim B'makim Sheyesh Kedei Lachuk. You would cut it out and create a wall over there, so creating a post. As long as there's enough material there to create a post straight up and down. So even if the thing goes like this, but if you could get one thing to go straight up and down in that thickness, that counts according to Meir as straight up. So over here also we would say Chaykin Lahashlim to go in. We look at the hole as if it was four Tzvachim wide. Tell him he's lock it. So what's telling me slack? It's like Rashi, tell me slack the Shehu Madrin, it's at an angle. And it's going up. We slack it, and it gathers up, ma'at ma'at, slowly but surely, it gathers height. Over here. It reaches the height of Yud Tvachim, B'tach Dalanavis, within four Amas. Harehu Kilo Zakuf Kula, we look at halachically as if it's straight up and down. Rishus Yachid B'mokum Gavaya, therefore the area on top is instead of Rishus Yachid. Therefore, if somebody throws Mishuz Rav and lands on top of this thing, he's Chayiv. That's only if it can reach that height within four Amas. Because if it can reach the height within five Amas, so it's a more gentle, it takes five Amas of going up to get the height of ten. So that's still considered, it's available to walk on, it's possible to walk up. It was considered part of the Rishus Rabbim, still not a separate Rishus. Okay. So the more brings a case where you have a Mavi next to the Rishus Rabbim. So you have the Rishus Rabbim here, and your Mavi has three sides, and the Rishus Rabbim is on the fourth side, but there's a change in the height between the Rishus Rabbim and the Mavi, either going up or going down. So he says, "V'nasim madin l'shus harabim." Shal yikarka Mavi gavoya mikarka l'shus harabim. The ground of the Mavi was higher than the ground of the l'shus harabim outside of it. Huzik l'shapeya eitzol pischa l'tzad l'shus harabim. And therefore, you're going to have to make a slant downwards towards l'shus harabim. Shal yishavel l'shus harabim. Alternatively, the grounds of the Rishus Rabbim coming into the Mavi was the same height, but then it went down. The vice versa was where the ground of the Mavi was lower. So obviously, with the first few steps you came in, it was the same level, and then it went down. Half amor or amor was the same height, and then it went down. So Bachagaku Manasa Madal it's not doifin him, so as it goes in towards the middle. Asimov and a circle lechi. The Osa Goiva Shibitsada Pesach Habilik Mechitza. So since it's in the correct, it's an angle enough, we can set it as if there's a wall there. Well, if there's a wall there, you have walls on all four sides. The locha that a Mavi needs to have something on its to make it permitted to carry inside of it, because it doesn't have walls on all four sides. It has a wall here. Here's the Rishus Rabbim, and it's open totally. So because all of a sudden you must either put a beam across the top, across the top of the Mavi, or you must put one pole on the side, and it counts as if there's a wall there. But over here you have a wall. You have this angle is equivalent to a wall. Avishu Meshabeh Pahel, you know, it's at an angle, it's not straight up and down, we count it as a wall. And that's this idea which we've been discussing. Okay, Zok the Mishnah. Second Mishnah. Zorak Lesach Dalanamis, person threw it, Imrish Tzorami threw it the length of Dalanamis. Less than Dalanamis. He threw it should land, his intent was it should land within four Amis. And when he's goggled, Chutz of Dalanamis. And then it rolled beyond where he wanted to land, and it landed out, and it ended up finally, eventually landing outside of Dalanamis, past Dalanamis. So he moved this item for Amis. So lach his pot. Let's say, however, Zorak, who's the Dalanamis? He threw it, and he wanted to land outside of the four Amis, and it did. And then it rolled back, it rolled back into the Dalanamis, his chai. So Krashi, Zorak, who's the Dalanamis? His goggle, his chai. Loishanafel the oritz, If the case had actually landed, Zagrashi, and then it rolled back in, so of course there's the Hanlacha, and then it moved afterwards. So of course he's chayyim. Lotshicha lememer, that's obvious. Elisha Ruach Gilgalosu Mina Avra L'Sech Tal Lamas. What happened was that he threw it. It hasn't. Here's the air, the ground. It has not landed yet, and a big wind came in and pushed. So it was ready outside the Dalai Lama. Then it came back inside. The wind pushed it back in, and then it landed here. So it never actually landed outside of the Dalai Lama. So the Mishnah says, "Yechai Feather Kasha V'Holoi Nocha." It didn't. You don't have a Hanocha beyond outside of after Dalai Lama because it never landed. It was pushed back inside. And to be chayiv, you always need a kira and a hanocha. You don't have a hanocha, dalad amis, so why is it chay? So Mor says, that it landed on something which wasn't a full dalad. It wasn't 4x4. There was a little thing standing up over there, but it was less. It was within 3 tvachim of the ground. So since it was within 3 tvachim of the ground, so that's even though the thing that landed, we know to be high, you have to land on an area which is 4x4. It landed on a thing which is yay big, very small. But since it's within 3 tvachim of the ground, we count it as if it's landed on the ground. And that's the chiddush in the Mishnah. The tainam mihachi, zarchus adalad amis, with the chafasoi haruach, vichni sosoi. He threw it past the dalad amis, and the wind blew it back inside. And then it landed. And then it rolled out. So this thing went like this. Before it landed, the wind pushed it back in. It landed here, and then it pushed out. So, or he carried it out afterwards. But, because it never landed outside of Dalai Lama's. However, let's say, Achazosu Haruach, Mashahu. The wind, you know, you have the force going this way, you have the wind going this way, and it stalled in the air for a second. Within 3 tvachim of the ground. So it's like a land. Mashahu Avapi Shechazul Bitsnisasu is chayv. So then, even though afterwards it ended up landing inside, but it's considered as if it landed for that moment outside because it stalled in the air between his energy throwing that way and the wind blowing that way, it stalled for a second, and then it moved back. It's within 3 tvachim of the ground. It's like it landed on the ground. And then it came in afterwards, so it landed already, comes in, he's chayv for the landing. Okay, see Rashi. V'holei noch, it didn't land. Chutz adalet, didn't land beyond the 4 amas. Ma'ayatina basos. So why do we look at the fact that it had been, even though it had been before, but it only ended up landing back inside. The wind blew it back in before it landed. So why is it chayiv? So we're answering shenoch gavim mashu. Shomad kitzas, it stopped a little bit. The bachar kach niskal galen rolled back in. So there was this little thing sticking up. It landed on that, and then it came back in. Who did he mechazos? So haruach ba'avir vikvosim. The same thing would be true, like the Mor is going to bring in the Brice in a second, where the wind held it up in the air for a second. It stopped there. It stalled there. It came back inside. That's considered if it landed. If it landed within 3 tvachim of the ground. Based on love, the combination of the fact that it actually stopped and it didn't blow. Okay. Okay. The chavasa ruach ba'oyda ba'aver. If the wind blew it back in before it landed, and he's pot. If a chazasa mashu haruach ikvasi b'mekamim mat, the wind, the energy going forward and the wind coming at it forced it to made it stall in the air for a second within 3 of the ground as if it landed, and then if it rolls, even though it rolls back, it goes back inside, it's still chayiv. Omer Rava Terech Gimel Rabbanon Terech Anochal Gami Mashu. Even though we had before on Daf Tzadi, the beginning of the parak in Daf Tzadi Zayin Amin Aleph, that we have Reb Tuvi Bar Chilkias, which says Reb Tuvi says that according to Rabbanon, that you went from Rishus Yochin to Rishus Yochin through Rishus Rabbin. So we have a Chalitza Rekiva and the Chacham. Rekiva says Chayim, Chacham say Potter. But he said if it goes lower than 3, even the Chacham holds your Chayim. See, he holds within, even though it never stopped. According to Rekiva, it didn't stop.
Right.
And he's Chayim. He went from Rishus Yochin to Rishus Yochin through Rishus Rabbin. So Rekiva holds it as if it landed, and then it went out again. Chacham say, no, it didn't land. But Rechukim Ratubi said, but if it goes within three of the ground, as if it's if it landed. Comes Rav and says, no. Teich Gimel, the Rebonin, Tzarech HaNoch HaGam HaMashu. Even though it's Teich Gimel, it actually has to land on something. It has to touch something. So if there's something there in the middle, and it goes, touches it, and then it continues on, and it's within Gimel, it's within three Tvachim of the ground, as if it landed on the ground, on an area of 4x4, and he's high. Let's see Rashi, the Rabbanan. The Pligi al the Rekiva, they are going to Rekiva, Bezerk, Rishis Yachad, Rishis Yachad, Rishis Ameem, so one Rishis Yachad, two Rishis Yachad, two Rishis Rabbin, the last Lahu Kluta Kamisha Huntkodami, they don't hold a Kluta Kamisha Huntkodami. So Loy Tema, don't say, this is Rabbi talking, don't say, Bezerk Gimel Moidu, that within, if it traveled within three Tvachim of the ground, the Chamer or Moidu, like Rechilki Betuvit does say, even within three tefachim on the ground, it has to land. If it goes, even though it's traveling within 9 inches off the ground, it's traveling at 6 inches off the ground, but if it goes straight through, it doesn't land, it's part. This halacha would have the impact of the following. According to Rava, that's not considered if it landed, even though it's within gimel of the ground, unless it actually touches on something. Now the something which it touches doesn't have to be 4x4, because once it touches on something, it's like it's on the ground. And in other words, the ground's up and down, so we look at it like it's okay, it's on the ground, but it has to touch. So the application would be the following. A person was zerked al an amis. A person threw four amis. Okay, it's about to land, it's within three tefachim of the ground. Nizgir Shigos, he says, okay, what did I do with Shabbos? Actually, no, before it actually landed. So the loch is if a person it becomes aware of the Veira before it lands, we'll have later on the parak, he's potter. Because you don't have a kir in the Hanocha in a state of Chiyav Chatas. Because the Hanocha was ready, he was ready, like a mazid. I mean, what didn't do with a mazid, but he's aware of what he's doing. That's not called a shergek. So, well, if you tell me that as soon as it reaches within three of the ground, as if it landed on the ground, like Rabbi Chukim and Tumi says, so it reached within the gimel of the ground, already the hanoch has been done, and then he realizes, so he's chai b'chadis. But according to Rava, it's not enough to be within three of the ground, it has to actually land. So it didn't land yet. So the time it landed, he was aware of the veira, so he's not chai b'chadis. But, green look at Mestizim, Ashet te'tchilosa b'sayfer shkoga, you need the beginning and the end, the kira and the hanoch, he's a shogeg. We don't consider even before he remembered. Remember, he remembered it was 3 inches off the ground. Love it starts at 9 inches off the ground. So he, when it hit 9 inches off the ground, according to Rebbe Chukim Ratzuvi, it landed already. See, he's chayav akatos. According to Rebbe, you don't say that. We don't say it's already considered munach, and therefore he's chayav akatos. We say it's not munach yet. And when the time it hit, and he became aware of it before, it was munach when it actually landed on the ground. So Rabbah's din of Teich Gimel, Tzarech HaNoch HaGam HaMashu, has other applications besides the case of Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, but even in the case of regular Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, or the case of Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, it did not land until it landed. It actually landed. So the Gemara, Yosef Meremer, V'ka'amr lo lo hashmaitim. So Meremer was quoting over what Rabbah said, and Omer le Ravina le Meremer. So Ravina asked Meremer. So he says, Lav Hanam Asisit. Okay. Isn't that our Mishnah? The Mishnah's case was, he threw it out past the Dalai Lamas. And we said that if it landed and then it rolled back into the sky. But that's not the case of Mishnah was that it didn't land. And the more I asked the Kasha, Bomer B'yechanan, V'hushanach, B'yechanan asked the Kasha, the Chor didn't land. And B'yechanan answered, V'hushanach HaKavimashu, it landed within three tefachim of the ground on something. So you see this idea of that Teich Gimel is not considered as if it landed, unless it actually landed on something. Right? So, Rava's din, the Chara, was Rabbi Yochanan already, three generations before Rava, Rabbi Yochanan already said it. Right? Samura says, Amalei, so Meremer said back to Ravina. That would not essentially prove Rava's din. Because remember, what was the case? The case was that he threw it, it came within Gimel of the ground, and then the wind blew it back inside. So we're saying that unless the wind stalls it there, or it actually landed on something which is mashahu, we don't consider it if it landed there. Why? Because it's not sefer lenoach there. The wind's is blowing it in.
What happens if both happens at the same time? I mean, let's say it hits something that rolls back, and that blows back and rolls back. So,
well, if
you hit like a little hill, it rolls back. So it's
right. So it's right. So that nice guy. But the case where you're discussing, you want to know what's the halacha. If its trajectory is going to be complete. Rava's case was the trajectory is going to be complete. It's going to land.
No.
And we want to know, is it considered as if it landed here or here? So you can't prove it from Rabbi Yochanan's case where it's here and then it goes here. It's never really, the case was it's not going to land here. Right? It's not going to continue its trajectory and complete its trajectory and land. It's going to be for, over here's the case of Misgalgum. Miskalza kamartin, miskalza ain't sefer lenuach. Avol hai kimin the sefer lenuach, avol gav lo noch kimanda noch dami kimashu lon. So in other words, Rava is adding so much of Yerachan I wouldn't necessarily hear from Rav Yerachan, because Rava is adding a case where it's eventually going to land, but still it's not considered as a land. Rav Yerachan's case it's not going to land, so I wouldn't know from Rav Yerachan, I wouldn't be able to extrapolate to Rava's din. And that's what Rav is adding, that no, it is, yes, you should extrapolate, and even this case also is put. Okay, well, let's see Rashi, and then I'll ask you a question on this. Love Hainuk Basnisa. The Tony Chutzar Ba'amas, Meniskalgol, it was went beyond four Amas, and then it rolled back in. The mission said, you're put, you're chai. What do you mean? But it didn't land. V'hoshenoch, and the Rabbi Yochanan said the case landed on a mashahu. Haloi noch, loy had it not landed on that mashahu, on that small thing. He's not chayiv. I mean, loy ukur Rabbi Yochanan kugon shabuol l'sal gimel. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan just say it reached the height of gimel tefachim? And that's considered if it's landed. You see that's not true. So he said back, no. Misgalgal kamarta. Davash aruach megalgal ba'aver kamarta. The case over here, you're dealing with something, the wind is blowing it back the other direction. That's the case. So that is not eventually not going to land. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan said it's not enough to be within three tefachim of the ground. But over here, where it's going, maybe over here it's going to land, and he became aware of it before it landed. We should consider if it landed already. So we could argue, which Rabbi Yochanan was saying mistakenly, since it's going to land, and it's within gimel of the ground, and it's like it landed already, and therefore, that case should be chayiv. Rava says no, that's not true. We don't consider it to have landed in his part. Okay. Now, what I find interesting, there's more suggestion because Rava's discussing the case of the Rashi said Rava's discussing two cases. One is the case where the item is going down, it's going for Shishi Yochel, or for Amos, which is a Rabbim, and it's on its way to land. And before it actually lands, he realizes that it's Shabbos. He remembers that it's Shabbos. So the Soifoi was not Bishgaga. But the Rabbah's point is, even though you could argue, possibly argue, which Rabbah says is wrong, that since it was already within Lovet to the ground, it's as if it landed already. And therefore, at the time it reached that point, he had not remembered in his chai. Rava says, you're put. So, but the more says, that's sefer lenuach. So maybe we could argue with sefer lenuach. No, even so, you're chai. Even so, it's not landed in your put. But Rava was also discussing the case that went from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Right? Going at a height of less than Gimel. That's not Avrash and sefer lenuach. In that case, it's not going to land in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That case, you could extrapolate from Rabbi Yochanan's case. Rabbi Yochanan's case was it's not going to eventually land there, and Lava doesn't work. So Rabba's case, the Morse says, well, you can't extrapolate to a case where it's eventually going to land there. Maybe Lama does work in that case. Okay. But a case where it's not going to land, the Rishus Yochid, through the Rishus Rabba, and skimming just above the ground, skimming, you know, right above, you know. So Rabba says that case also is not called it landed. Yeah, that's a Rishus case. And furthermore, the case that Rabba actually discussed was that case. We're extrapolating from Rabba, Rashi says, to a case where it's about to land. Whether it's considered Sefer Lenuach or not. But the case Rabba actually talked about wasn't that case. Rabba spoke about Tarek Gimel the Rabbanon, which the Rabbanon's case was, it's going from Shesiyachid through the Shesirab. So that, the her Ravina's right. That's the Mishnah. Right. And you can take the question even a step further. If Rabba was only discussing that case, how in the world did Rashi have a right to extrapolate to a case that's about the land? Maybe that case about the land is different. If he's arguing that Ein Sefer Lenuach is not the same as Sefer Lenuach, we have no right to say Rabba was discussing both cases. If Rabba only discussed the case of Ein Sefer Lenuach, which wasn't planning about the land. If you're telling me that they're not similar, and Rabba spoke about a case of Ein Sefer Lenuach, you have the right to say Rabba would say the same as my case of Sefer Lenuach. So you have to say, when Rashi says, Tarek Gimel Rabbanon, Tarek Gimel Rabbanon, Rabba was really discussing both cases, explicitly. Rabba was saying, I want you to know, you could think according to Rabbanon, they agree Gimel if it landed. It's not true. And Rabba was discussing, expressly discussing a case that was about to land. Now the case, in other words, Rabba was already saying, listen, you know there's a B'chosin Rekiv and the Rabbanon. Rabbanon hold, you don't say Klutz. According to Rekiv, you say Klutz. But according to Rabbanon, you might argue, they don't say Klutz. If it's about to land, Yechayiv. No, even that case you're put. Oh, so Morse, that's Rabbi Yechon. No, it's not Rabbi Yechon. I mean, you don't have to say that that's true. No, but the Rabbi expressly discussed that case. Otherwise, the Gemara doesn't make any sense. So, the Mishnah. We're moving right along over here, right? See if we can do two more Mishnahs today. Hazarik b'yam arba amas potter. A person throws something in while at sea. Four amas, so lochus is potter. The yam is considered a carmelus. That one case. Next case. In way rekak mayim rishus rabim aleches. But we had this back in the first parak. So you had in rishus rabim, you had this little depression. There was water gathered there. There was a pool of water, which people were walking through. Rishus rabim was mahaleches, but people were not skirting it. It wasn't so deep that people were skirting it, etc. So and it's so people were walking through it. And Hazorik Mesechot Dalad Amos, a person standing, it's considered part of the Shesarab, and still a person will throw Dalad Amos and will land there. Loch is a Hizchai. Vekamahu Rekak Mayim. So what's considered a Rekak, which is still considered part of the Shesarab? Pochas Mesor, it's not 10 Tvachim, it's not 10 Tvachim deep. And therefore, Rekak Mayim, which is a Rabbin Malechas, by Hazorik Mesechot Dalad Amos is Chai. The Mor says that the Mor is discussed, the Mishnah really repeated itself. Tzirashi, Tamar Kakmayim, Kama Oimkoi, the name of Akat, which is a Rabbim, who, how deep can it be that it's still part of which is a Rabbim? It's still part of which is a Rabbim. We'll learn Nasa Carmelis. So the Mishnah says, up to 10 Tvachim. Less than 10 Tvachim deep. Rakak is a Garbin. So the Gemara, I'm like, Ahumar Rabban on the Rabbim. So one of the Saminim asked the Rabbim a question. Bishlam Ahiluch, Hiluch, Trezim, the Mishnah discussed the phrase, Rishus Rabim Mahalechas by twice. It says the phrase, and the Rabim is. It's full of water. It has to be full of water. What?
It's now sounding more like a thin mud.
Why?
Because it has whole chatzatz. Sand and gravel mixed up in it.
Why
introduce that unless it changes the same?
You know, I don't know. Okay. Amalei, Homer Rabban on the Rav. So.
It'd be a pretty big thing of water for him not to walk around, and also it's 10
feet. Well, let's see.
So think about a four.
Right. So Bishlama Hilach Hilach Tres. I mean, the Mishnah stresses the phrase Bishlama Halachas by twice. Why is it stressed twice? It says that the Rabbim is walking through it. Why is it telling you twice? Hakamashmalon. It's the reason why it's saying it twice is number one. Hilach Ayirat Chak Shme Hilach. That even though it was not something which people wanted to do, and they would force themselves to do it because it was just in case of necessity they would walk through. It's not, you know, well, no problem, it's very easy to walk through. It's not so easy to walk through. But since at the end of the day people do walk through there, it's still called Rishus HaRabbim. That's the phrase thing. The Rabbim, the mice, is actually going through there. That's the main thing. Number one. And what's the second, why is it stressed at a second time? To tell me, Tashash Ayyad HaKak, Lo Shmei Tashash, remember we had in the first parak that if you have something which is nine, you have an Omud Rishus HaRabbim, which is nine Tfachim high, and the Bnei Rishus HaRabbim use it to straighten out their packages, that's considered part of the Rishus HaRabbim. Even though you don't walk on it, but it's a Tashmish of the Rabbim. Well, we had the same extra parallel, the more actually discusses back in the Chesim and Beis. So what about if you had a depression over there a little bit, and it was deep enough that if you could put an item down as you're walking to take it off of your burden, etc. So you're using it for the purpose of while you're walking, to help your walking by putting something down. But it's Ayireth Chak because you have to reach down and bend down to get it. Put it in. Is that called, we told you Hiluch Ayireth Chak is called Hiluch, walking through, even though it's not so easy, is considered walking. So maybe using, even though it's not so easy, it's called using. So we're stressing, Hiluch is Ayireth Chak, but not Tashmish. That's why I said it twice, Hiluch. To stress, but Tashmish Ayireth Chak, Loshmei Tashmish. That I understand. This is the Talmud asked the Rabbi. Ela Rekak, Rekak, Trezim, Ni Lomoli. Why does it have to use the, it says, Hayrekak Mayim, da da da. And then it says again, Rekak Mayim, which is Ram Alechas boy. You know, why does it have to repeat the phrase, Rekak Mayim, twice? We're talking about a Rekak. Some more answers. Chadbim Mosechama, Chadbim Mosechshama. One for the summer, one for the winter. Mitzrichi, I need to stress both. Di Tony Chadu, if it only said one, I could argue that in the summer, where it's hot out, even though it's a little bit hard to go through and it's a little bit muddy, etc., whatever it is, David Inchi Demiski La Kore Nafsha. People will walk through it in the summertime because it helps cool off at the end of the day, right? Abbasak Shomim, if I only had one time, I could mistakenly think that it was just whereas in the winter, where the person is less inclined to walk through there because it's cold and it's only needs to walk through this nice cold water. So maybe that we cannot consider that part of the Rishus HaRabbim, and he would not be chay. Elamai, so just tell me the Moshek Shaman, and say, and I'll say obviously in the summertime. I would say no. I could argue the opposite. In the winter, where it's the whole road is muddy and a mess. So keeping the matanfi loichmes luhu. So he's dirty, so he'll go through and get a little more dirty. Get him nishtam. Abba Masachama, where he's the ground is nice and dry, and he walks through this thing, and he ends up being muddy and dirty. He doesn't want to walk through it. So I could argue that's not considered part of his rabbim, and loy I would not consider that part of his rabbim. Therefore, we have to stress both. Okay. In other words, we're being mechadosh over here. The hiluch ayir etchak is shmei hiluch. In other words, we could argue even though the fact that you walk through that, but since it's not something which people will walk there unless there's a reason why they must do it, it's not part of the regular flow of the Rishus HaRabbim, so it's not considered part of Rishus HaRabbim. That's what we could argue. Ayir etchak is not called Rishus HaRabbim. It means there are excellent people will stop and you know what, I don't need to go, they'll go back. So it's not the average flow.
But you just understood the idea of people stopping and going back. Nobody's stopping. No, it's not Ayir Etchak. I mean, there's some people which aren't Dochuk aren't going through. That has to be the case. Right. But the person who says, I don't need this, you know, had it not been, he'll take a stroll and continue walking. You know what? It's not worth it to go through this thing. So there are some people which are stopping here and saying, I'm not going through this thing. But the people who need to are going through it. So is that considered Parshas Rabbim or not? It does interrupt Hiluch for X amount of people. But inconvenience creates a question where it impacts the flow of the Rabbim. So that's not. So now we have to know, is that considered Parshas Rabbim or not?
So we could argue that if there is more of a compelling reason one way or the other, we could possibly, even if I tell you, so I say, since in the psychology of the summer, it's more comfortable for people, it's so whatever the numbers are, but since it's more comfortable, we don't perceive it as being something which is an obstacle. I'll give you an interesting there's a tshuva from Menashe Klein. Menashe Klein wants to argue for a second that it's interesting, you know, we're trying to discuss what the definition of a Rishus Rabbim is. He wants to argue a street which has all these red lights on it, which impacts your flow, you can't walk at will, has a problem that's not considered a non-Rishus Rabbim because there's something blocking the flow. Even though there's nothing blocking the flow, because you could walk through it, but since nobody will walk through it, let's say for argument's sake, you know, everybody would you know, there was a, right? Not sure, but let's say the average person is not walking through it, so there's something blocking your flow. That's called an obstacle.
Something the average because it has to do with the color. So with the talk, we're saying some people will go through.
Right.
And that, therefore, raises a question of, is this still a Rishut HaRabim?
Right.
Well, it doesn't have to be Rakak. We can use this concept to many things.
Well, we had in the first paragraph, we had the case of the Higi, you had the thorns, you had the case of the Tsoya. We discussed certain cases, you know, we did discuss, do they consider the impact it or not? But what we're arguing, what the Morris is arguing now, you could argue that if there's also a psychological element of why it's happening, that may be more or less significant than just the fact that people are not doing it. But there's something which the logic would dictate that you shouldn't be doing it has more significant, as a more significant obstacle than something which the logic would dictate that you, there's no reason why you're not, you know, it's just a pole is not the only definition of it. That's the more saying I would make a mistake.
What about a pole?
A pole is not the only definition. At least that's the more is I could mistake that, and that's why the Mishnah stressed. No. Either it's, you know, the bottom line is, are they going through or not? Abaya Omar, so Abaya answered the question differently.
The only definition.
Correct. Omar, he said, Itzrich. We do need to stress the word Rakak twice. Maybe the defining element over here should be that it depends how wide it is. That if it's a rakak which is narrow, it's less than 4 amas wide, that's considered a part of the Shizurab. But it's when it's considered 4 amas wide, so Akufi makfile, people, there is more of a compelling reason to walk around it, even though there's excellent people walking through, but since the logical thing to do is to walk around it, it starts getting wider and wider, so you're less inclined to walk through the thing. Ravashi Amar Itzuk, Ravashi answers no, again, I need to stress it twice. So the Mishnah says no, that's not true. Itzuk, so the Mishnah, Hani Melechel Dahabi Dalit. Ravashi says that when it's let's say you jump over it. What's the status of a rakak that most people jump over? So it's Ravashi saying I could argue if it's 20 inches wide and the average person jumps over it, so it's not really made to walk through. It's made to skip. So that's not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. If it gets a certain width, you can't skip it. You got to walk through it. That's considered Rishus HaRabim. If it's 4 amas wide, you can't. You're not jumping over that thing. You're going to step over it. So that's considered not Rishus HaRabim. So Mishnah says no. Even though maybe most people will step over it as opposed to walking through it, that's also called Rishus HaRabim. If also Ravashi the Tameh, the Morse says Ravashi is following his opinion. Domer Ravashi, high man the Zork, Menach Aguda the Gamla, Michayev, Shre Rabin Boykin Boy. So, I did not understand the case 100%. So, I have there is, you have a bridge, you have like a footbridge or something which goes, so it's made to walk on, it's made to, you know, or it's made to travel on, so that's considered part of the Shizuram, even though there's this valley underneath, but if it's 16 amas wide, it has your shurim, it's what it's supposed to be doing, right? It's part of the hilach of the rabbit. So even though I don't look at the ground, I mean, this is, for our purposes, this is the ground. So a person threw it, and he threw something, and it landed on the aguda de gamla. So one of the boards which went across this bridge, but it was, actually it was muvdu mechavera. So I'm not sure it means it was detached, or it was. It's something which was a little bit higher. There's some reason that it wasn't something which people would want to step on necessarily. You know, you try to avoid stepping on it. So I want to know if it landed on that board, is that called that it landed in Rishon Zerab? So he says, Yechayiv, even though people who step over it, because the majority of people are not necessarily focusing in and trying to avoid that thing. In other words, in Echonami, you'd have something which everybody would say it's not safe. I don't know, they would avoid stepping on it. It's not part of the Rishon Zerab. But since, even though there are some people which try to avoid it and step over it, since there is X amount of people which walk on it, that's enough to say that you're chayiv. That's the same idea which we're pointing out over here. The K is to like break through, means it pushes through. Rashi touch it means that they don't skip over, they step on it. Hiluch hiluch, like Rashi, the Nocha trades in, it says the phrase hiluch twice. Rishon Zerab Mahalalechas Boy, it says the phrase Rishon Zerab Mahalalechas Boy twice in the Mishnah. Chad the memory of the Ein Regilim Lahalach Boy is Potter. One is to tell me that if people do not walk through it, so then you're Potter, because it's not even Tashin Layed El Chak. Vechi Regilim Lahalach Boy is Chayav. Even though it's only done because of necessity, it's not your regular average flow, that's not considered chayiv. That's not considered an impediment, and it's chayiv. That's the chiddush of the first phrase. So it's a tashish which you use, but it's difficult to use. For example, in case it was a depression which was 9 to Tefachim deep, so it's deep enough that people would store something in it because it's not going to get stepped on. So it's usable. You could put your hat or your suitor in it, cap, whatever it is. We don't consider that something which is usable to give the guma, the depression, the status of Rishon Zerab, comparable to amutes shav mechasim alav, like the case where you had a Omud, which is 9 Tefachim high, which people use to adjust their items. The Mishnah said that that's called Parashat Zerab. This is not. Okay. So the Rishon Zerab is not. Al Rakak, Trezim the Lomali, why does it require twice? Lashminan, Hiluch Ayyad Chak, Achrinam, they tell me that it's Ayyad Chak, we already said that already. So Abaya argued that maybe it's only when it's Lohavit Al Adamas. Rachab, it's not so wide. It's not so hard to walk through the middle. It's easier to walk through rather than walk around. To go to where it ends and walk around that. It's so narrow. So I'll walk through already. If it's thicker, wider already, maybe I should walk around. Thank you. So it says the second time, to tell you, even though it's wider, since the people do walk through it, it's considered Rishon Zerab. Rabashi said, it's wide enough. It's not normal to step over it. You walk through it. I go to the Gamla, Al Daf, Shebegesher, there's a board in the bridge, Hamutal Roicha Begesher, which is across the width of the bridge. Kishar Hadapim, Umuvdu Mechavera, but I'm not sure if it's Muvdul because detached, it's Muvdul because it's separated, it's Muvdul because it's higher, I'm not sure what the Muvdul is. Chai, Vavagavdika, the Mifsi, possibly some people step over it, they try to avoid stepping on it. Loimantli Karayu, although they don't put their feet on it. Iketubah, the Arvile, there are enough people which do walk through it. Okay, Zod the Mishnah. Yes, it did. Azark min a yam liyabosha, min a yabosha liyam, min a yam lisvino, min a svino liyam, min a svino lichaberta is pot. Person throws in the yam is a caramelist, the yabosha, even though there's a, let's say, a case there's a rishis a rabbin right there next to the yam, or vice versa, or a svino is rishis a yachid, it went from the yam, which is a caramelist, to the svino, which is rishis a yachid, or went from one svino to the other, which is one rishis a yachid, the other rishis a yachid, over the caramelist. So all those cases, obviously, you're potter because it's so, there's no derisa rishus over there. You're missing rishus rabbin to caramelus. Caramelus rishus rabbin. Caramelus rishus yochid. See, not kai. Right? Let's say svinus kshura zubazu. You have two ships which are tied to each other. Metalta mizulazu. So you can carry from one to the other, even though the worst of the case was that they were owned by two different people, so it's like two houses. They have to make an eruv, okay? But the eruv only works, the Mishnah says, if they're tied to each other, so they will not end up with caramelism between the two of them. But im ena mekshurus, even though if they're not tied together, even though they're right next to each other, the Erev is not a valid Erev because it cannot necessarily be maintained. The water might split the two. And then you can't carry because of the caramel is in the middle. So making an Erev in a way, which means that you join your meals together and therefore we're considered one Rishus, when a way which might be a little Shabbos that you can't actually share your meals because you can't reach each other, it's not called an Erev. See, when right now they're next to each other, it's not called we've joined for the Shuda Shabbos when it might be 3 hours an hour that we're like this and we can't eat with each other because we can't pass each other. So it's not called a valid Erev and you can't carry from one to the other. Leave Rashi's for tomorrow.